Take your Bibles, please, today and turn with me to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. There are many opportunities in our church to serve in many different capacities. You know of some of them. Some of them you may not be aware of. Teaching. These are not all of them, by the way. Teaching, directing, classes, children's church ministry, ushering, greeting, music, choir, special music, etc. Nursery, vital importance there. Vacation Bible School, each year we have a wonderful ministry of Vacation Bible School. Our youth ministry throughout the winter months, school months, there. All of these are important. All of them need faithful, capable servers to be there, and all of them are spiritual ministries. And that includes anything that we do associated with our church in ministry. All of these are ministry. They're spiritual ministries unto the Lord. Some people, I don't think, really realize that. When you think about spiritual service unto the Lord, you may think about, you know, preaching or teaching Sunday school class or directing a children's class or something of that nature. But even pouring juice into a cup during Vacation Bible School, picking up trash around the parking lot here when you see it out there, shaking someone's hand and encourage them. All of these areas are areas of ministry that people can be involved in and should be involved in, as well as these others that are more up front, and all of them are spiritual ministry unto the Lord. We need to recognize that, and we need to understand that just as important as it is for me to be right with God as I stand before you this morning for this message, just as it is important for me to have a right relationship and fellowship with Him and be plugged into His power, etc., to preach, so it is for you in whatever capacity God leads you to serve in this particular ministry here of Holy Hills Baptist. So we need to have that grasp and understanding there. And I remind our choir members quite often that as they stand here to serve in ministry of singing, please make sure you do so as clean vessels unto the Lord. We are to be concerned about coming before God with a clean heart, clean life there, having confessed our sins, knowing of no problem or sin in our life that is causing a separation between us and our Lord. For what good is there to seek to minister and serve God when our heart is not right with Him, you see? And certainly that affects the entire congregation, the entire service. So keep those things in mind as I preach this particular message today, because I believe God desires that every Christian be identified with the local church and every Christian be serving the Lord in some capacity, whether it is picking up trash, whether it's singing special music, or whether it is anything in between. We are to be involved in some capacity with the local church. God has placed His church here in this world, and it's made up of local churches such as ours that are here, and God wants every believer to be identified with the local church. I believe the way we do that today is through church membership. So I encourage you, if you've not joined the local church, if you call this your local church, make sure you identify through joining it as members, because there are some positions that you cannot serve in if you're not a member of the church. It hinders you there, and I encourage you with that. But also to be involved, even if you're a member of the church, to be involved in some capacity of ministry and service unto the Lord, whether it is looking for trash to pick up or whether it's shaking someone's hand and encouraging them, etc., and trying to help in those capacities, or volunteering for children's church or for nursery or whatever the case may be, there's always areas to serve. There's always paintbrushes with handles. All right, enough said. We're blessed to have many faithful servers in our church, and I say that rejoicing, and others also that are interested in becoming involved, and for that I praise the Lord. The message today deals with how to be the servant that God wants you to be here at Holly Hills Baptist, or how to become the servant that God wants you to be here at this church. Let's pray. Father, We right now acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. And I need your Spirit's power right now. And I pray that you would guide us as we study through this together, that you may lead us in the thoughts of this message to understand them. And Father, understand exactly how it applies to us. Lord, I pray that each one of us today would evaluate by this message in our lives where we stand before you, and that we would be willing to surrender to anything that you show us that needs correcting. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us through the things that we hear. And Lord, as I prayed earlier, that you may nourish us to go out into this world around which we are to be lights of witness unto them. Thank you, Father. And I pray for your work through this service completely. Glorify yourself through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Numbers chapter 8, we're going to look at a couple of examples, I believe, of how God wants us to be as servants before him. And first one here is about the Levites. Now, if you remember, before we read this passage here, who the Levites were. Jacob had 12 sons. They made up the tribes, primarily the tribes of Israel. The nation of Israel had the 12 tribes there, with the sons' names being the names of the tribes. Levi was one of the sons of Jacob, and therefore the Levites are the tribe of people that came down through Levi, and all of these are Jews. The Levites became chosen of God to be the servers in the temple and tabernacle of God. And they're the ones that we're reading about right here. So let's pick up reading, if we will, in Numbers chapter 8, beginning there in verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all of their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. Notice down to verse 11. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. Now, I'm going to read that verse again, and I want you to repeat a word with me there in verse 11. Aaron shall, what's the word? Offer the Levites. Now, keep that in mind. Now, what I want you to see from this is that God told Aaron there and with the Levites, Moses with the Levites there, that he was to separate the Levites out and to offer, have Aaron offer them unto the Lord as servers before the Lord, before Israel, for Israel. And that is the key that I want you to understand. And what I want you to see, as we're going to look at that in just a minute there, is how God did that specifically and what he did to these Levites in separating them out for service. Now, they were offered there definitely and specifically to the Lord. Keep that in mind. Now, next illustration. Turn we over to Luke chapter 2. Not only do we have the illustration, by the way, you might want to put a finger or a bulletin or a Bible mark or something there in Numbers. We're going to be coming back several times. Luke chapter 2, we have an illustration here of the Lord Jesus himself at just after his birth. Luke 2, beginning in verse 21. Luke 2, 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in his womb. And when the days of her, Mary's purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they, Joseph and Mary, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him, what's that word? Present him to the Lord, as it was written, etc. Now, the word that was used over there in Numbers of the Levites was he was to offer them. The same idea is presented here. He was to be presented unto the Lord. Now, both of these I want you to keep in mind. Now, about baby dedications, by the way, I've been asking, we probably have some here before long. I don't really call them baby dedications as much as I do parent dedications. Even though here Joseph and Mary came and they presented their baby unto the Lord Jesus there. The idea was, he is to be yours, Lord, etc. But reading through the lines there, you may say, you're really saying, Lord, I'm the one that's responsible for this child to bring him up in that nurture and admonition of the Lord the way that I'm supposed to. So it's really a presentation of that child unto the Lord, but a dedication of the parent to God in raising that child for the Lord in that way. And that I want you to keep in mind. But here, Jesus was presented to the Lord there, and the example that I want you to see there, that even the Son of God himself, before he began his earthly ministry, had to be presented unto God the Father there for service. That is important to understand. These examples speak to the importance of one being offered or presented or consecrated, if you will, set apart unto the Lord for service. That is the point that I want you to see of these illustrations. Now look with me over to Romans chapter 12. We have the command that is given us. Romans chapter 12. We've seen the illustration. The Levites were offered unto the Lord, set apart for him. Jesus himself was offered, presented unto the Lord there, set apart for him. Now we come to Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, who is Paul speaking to here? He's talking to brethren, to Christians, the ones who have received the mercies of God there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be different, be transformed. All right? Now we go back here to this verse 1. And we see there, who he's speaking to Christians, to you, therefore, right? Are you a Christian this morning? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, he's speaking to you, and he's saying there that you are to present your body a living sacrifice before the Lord. What does that mean? Present as a sacrifice there has the idea of that same thing that was done to Jesus and the Levites, to consecrate, to set apart as for his service. To set apart for his service. Every one of us, again, are, as Christians today, are to be set apart unto God for his service, for his use. Dedicate, to dedicate oneself for God's use. And we're to be set apart not only as a living sacrifice, but the next word there is holy. It's the word hagios. Holy. Separate is the idea, to be set apart unto him. Now, we've already said to be set apart there, presented unto the Lord, so the idea here is to be set apart from sin, pure, clean, etc., before the Lord. Separate from sin, and therefore pure and clean. We're to be acceptable unto whom? Unto God. In his eyes, not yours or mine. Do you know that if I had to sit down today and make an evaluation of your life spiritually, that if I went down through all of the different areas and God says, you know, here's your critique paper, and I want to know what you think about their personality, I want to know what you think about their character, I want to know whether you think they're punctual, I want to know whether you think that they're clean and neat. I want to know whether you think they're a good representation of me before the world, et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on, and he says, you know, excellent, good, poor, really sorry. and I had to go down and evaluate your lives. Guess what?
I would have when I got through. Nothing of any worth. Because it doesn't matter what I think about you, you see.
It matters about what he thinks about you. He's already made, he already has the list right now. As of right now, at 20 minutes to 12 here on Sunday, June the 10th, God has an updated evaluation of exactly what your life is. And there are no mistakes. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what needs to be improved upon, etc., that is there. We are to be acceptable then in his sight. I think too often we're worried about when the preacher walks up to something to make sure that we're behaving ourselves. I've had and told stories about that before. I have people that I walked up on the unexpectedly and they were doing something they weren't supposed to, and real quickly they were getting rid of it, you know. And I was thinking, what are you trying to hide?
It doesn't matter, folks. If it's wrong whether I see you or not. And God knows it, you see.
We are to be acceptable in His sight. And the only way we can be acceptable in His sight is to be separated unto Him for His use and to be holy, pure, clean, separate from sin. And He says that this is our what? Our reasonable service. Some translate that as our spiritual service of worship. I like that too, but I think it loses a little bit there. It is our service of worship unto the Lord, but it is also our logical, our reason. In other words, He is not asking too much to demand this of us. This is reasonable to have this kind of a worship service unto Him in our life, to be separated unto Him for that purpose, to be clean and pure as we come before Him to do it there, and therefore to be found acceptable in His sight.
That's what He's asking for.
The Levites, just like Jesus Himself, you cannot render reasonable service unto the Lord until you have presented yourself as a living sacrifice unto Him. That's Bible, folks. That's God's direction. That's the command. Now look at the specifics. We've seen there the examples. We've seen there the command. Now look at how are we to present ourselves and when are we to present ourselves. First of all, the how. How are you to be presented unto the Lord? Let's look back again over to Numbers and see the illustration there that's given to us. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Verses 7 and 8.
And thus shalt thou do unto them, he says, to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all of their flesh. In other words, if you're going to serve the Lord, you can't have a mustache, man. No, that's not what it's talking about. Neither is it talking about we need to sacrifice an animal today to serve the Lord. We don't do that either, as we see, but we are going to see what this is talking about. Let them shave all of their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Let them take a young bullock with the meat offering, and fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shall they take for a sin offering. A blood sacrifice he's talking about. Now, there are two things that are illustrated or emphasized right here, the same two things that the New Testament picks up on and illustrates or emphasizes as well. And here they are. One, they were to wash there with purifying water, and they were to be cleansed by a blood sacrifice. Blood and water were the two elements there, which are also used in the New Testament. Now let's keep that in mind and look at what it means there to be clean. We are to be clean by blood. The sacrifice of the Old Testament of an animal was pointing to what sacrifice? To the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, to make sure everybody's on the same page here, when you read in the Old Testament how the sacrificial system, where they would sacrifice a bullock unto the Lord or a lamb, etc., it was for the purpose of taking away the sin or actually covering the sin that was there until Jesus Christ would come and He would be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. So the bullock or the lamb was a temporary covering of sin until Jesus Christ came. By faith, they would offer the lamb that was translated then to a permanent sacrifice when Jesus Christ came. Now, with that then, what are we talking about? For a person to serve the Lord, first, he needs to be what? He needs to be saved. He needs to have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. May I say, first of all, it should be obvious to understand that until a person comes to the realization that they're a sinner and that they need the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away that sin, until they have by faith said, Lord, that's what I want to be my payment of sin, there is no service unto the Lord. They are not qualified. They are not in a position to serve the Lord. They may seek to do good things. They may seek even to come to church. They may seek, and there have been some that have taught Sunday school. There have been some preachers that have preached out of a pulpit and later got saved. Let me tell you something. Everything they did before that was nothing in God's book, you see. First, there has to be life. before they can be serviced. And that spiritual life comes when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So the first thing there is the blood, representing their salvation initially. Then there's the water. If you'll turn with me over to John chapter 15.
John chapter 15.
Water also represents cleansing from sin, but it has to do with the idea of continually. While you're turning there, I'm going to quote another couple of verses. I'll read a couple of verses here to you. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify," there's that word, set apart, "and cleanse it," there's the idea we're talking about, "with the washing of water."
What's the next three words? "By the Word of God."
All right. Washing of water by the Word of God. We're talking about that kind of washing right now, continually. Now look with me here in John chapter 15 and verses 2 and 3. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth," or prunes it, "that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the," what's the word? "Word," God's word, the Bible, "which I have spoken unto you." Now in the context there, both of these ideas are melded together, and the idea is that God prunes us, that is, he gets rid of some of the things that needs to be gotten rid of in our lives, and he does that cleansing, pruning, by the water of God's word. And so that when you read and when you hear the Word of God preached unto you, etc., or taught, the Holy Spirit of God can take that Word of His and He can begin to change or begin to bring to your mind areas that need to be pruned, that you need to get rid of or that allow Him to get rid of, and He will make your life then able to bear more fruit. Now, I'm no master gardener or anything, but I understand that when you plant fruit trees, etc., as young seedlings there, there's a great responsibility to stay after those things and keep those things pruned so that they develop and spread out more and more branches. Because the more branches they have, the more what? The more potential of fruit that they can bear. And the same idea is there with what Jesus is saying here. He says that God takes the Word of God to prune you so that you will spread out more in opportunities to bear fruit for Him. That's the idea. Now, with that, I want you to understand something. Dr. Warren Wiersbe made this statement. He said, "Pruning does not simply mean spiritual surgery that removes what is bad. It can also mean cutting away the good and the better so that we might enjoy the best." Let me illustrate it this way. If I were to stand you up today, back here at the door, as the entryway right there, and we put down $10 bills all down the aisle here, and on the outside, $20 bills. All across the front up here, there were $50 bills laid. And I said, "You've got 10 seconds, and you can have everything you pick up." Would you stop and pick up the $10 bills? Would you run for the 20s? Or would you come for the 50s, you see? 10 seconds. I think I would go for the 50s. I could pick up a whole lot more, even if I had less time to pick it up. The point is this. Sometimes there are good things that we can pick up in our lives, but we're limited with the time that we've got and the opportunities God gives. It is wiser to go for God's best. And sometimes God has to prune away some of the good things even in our life so that we may have the best things that God has for us. Does that make sense? So don't just think of the pruning of the Word of God as getting rid of just bad sin in your life, but God sometimes asks for you to give up some things that is nothing in the world wrong with it, other than it's taking up space in your life, that God could fill that space with something much better, not just for Him, but also for you. God wants to do that, and God will. That's what Philippians 1:10 is all about. Paul wrote there that you may approve things that are excellent. We can have discernment to be able to choose between not the bad sin and the good, but the good, the better, and the best. What discernment God wants
in our life as well. We are to present ourselves as clean, saved, confessed, and striving for God's best in our lives. Then next, notice not only are we to be clean, but if you'll flip back over there to Numbers 8 again, there's something else that God wants us to be. Numbers 8, verses 14 and following. We'll pick up reading there. It says, "Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly," that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, "they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel." Stop right there. Here's the idea that I want you to see. Number two, not only are we to be clean unto the Lord, saved by the blood and cleansed by the Word of God, the water of God's Word, but we're to be wholly, completely presented unto Him with no reservations whatsoever. We're not to hold back anything. We're not to put off anything in doing it. And we're not to give any excuse for not going there. Folks, it doesn't hold up. If God says do something, there is no excuse why not to do what God says. Notice here we also have initially and continually separations. Notice when you are to, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Notice there we're to be wholly, completely separated unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is a passage there that says this. If you want to write this down, you can. I'll flip over there real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." W-H-O-L-L-Y. Sanctify is hagios. It's the word there that means to be made wholly separate unto the Lord, H-O-L-Y. "May the very God of peace sanctify you," that is, make you wholly separate unto Him, "and may He do it completely, wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y. And then He says, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." Your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body. Not a single part left behind. We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice before the Lord. And we're to do it completely, not holding back anything, with no excuses, no postponements, etc. We're to be doing what God says to do. Has God told you that you need to do something today concerning ministry here in this church, whether it's membership, whether it's baptism, whether it's surrendering to a particular position, etc., or making yourself available, or just bending over and picking up trash when you see it? What is it? How far are we to separate unto the Lord completely? And then notice, when should you present yourself unto the Lord? Again, back over there in Numbers, if you're still there, Numbers chapter 8. Initially, it is a one-time dedication of yourself to God. Here the children of Israel were gathered together there, and they brought the Levites, and they presented them unto the Lord at one time together, as a presentation or dedication of themselves unto God. And it was publicly. Notice there in verse 9, "Thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together." The whole assembly of Israel was to come together, and there is where the Levites were to be presented unto the Lord. It was a public presentation. That's where we get the idea and the understanding that Christians need to, at one time in their life, come forward and say, "I'd like to dedicate myself unto the Lord in His service." It doesn't say, "I'm coming forward today because I want y'all to know that I'm going to be perfect from here out." That ain't going to happen. That's not what it's talking about. There's some people that say, "I don't want to go forward and dedicate myself to the Lord because I may fall next week." Well, get in line. Me too. But if we thought we shouldn't do that because we might fall next week, we'll never do anything for God. We are to say, "Lord, by your help, by your grace, by your strength,
I stand before you today. I want to be your man. I want to be your lady, etc. I want to be your person for you. And Father, help me. Help me now to do it. I give myself unto you. I think I've got something in my Bible here. Let me see if I can find it in the front. Did I do that? Here it is. I put this down in April the 5th, 1987. All I am, this was written out for me, given to me, and I signed it. It says, all I am, all I have, all I ever hope to be, I now and forever dedicate to the Lord Jesus Christ for His use and for His glory, absolutely, unconditionally, now and forever. It has some verses there. And then it says in bold letters, now, Lord Jesus, hold me to it. And I signed my name. Dr. Wendell Calder was the guy that preached that message there that day. And signed it as well. And that, to me, is a reminder to that one-time public presentation that was made. Folks, we have got, and we need, just like the Lord Jesus was, just like the Levites, we need to publicly say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm here. I'm not perfect. I won't be until you get through working on me. And you can tell folks that, by the way. God is still working on us. If you want to see the end product, come on to heaven. I'll show it to you there. But for right now, God's still working on us. But by His grace, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to present myself unto Him publicly. And then it was not only publicly one time, but it was continually. I've said so many times there about Romans 12:1, the problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps wanting to crawl off the altar. You see, we are alive, folks. We have to make decisions. We do. We make decisions every day with our lives. And if we don't get up every day and present ourselves unto the Lord anew, we're going to walk out there and start making decisions based on Randy Blackwell, what I want, and not what God wants. I thought of the military. You fall out of bed, and you fall in line. And you present yourself in line there to your commander, and there you report for his orders. That's what we're to do as well. First thing every day, we ought to present ourselves to the Lord. Lord, today is yours. I know it's Monday. I know you don't normally hear from me today to do this, but today is yours. And from here out, every day, I want you to know, I want to acknowledge before you, this is your day in my life. I want to live for you today. That is continuing to present ourselves unto the Lord. Before every day's work. I would say before every specific work. And remember in John 15, verse 5 there, Jesus said there in that context, it says, for without me you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, Paul says there, I can do how many things? All things through Christ. The idea there is when I get ready to do something for God, I need to realize and acknowledge I cannot do this of myself, but with God's help, I can do anything He asks me to. And we can't. Peter could walk on water because Jesus Christ had come. You see, with Him, we can do all things. We can. But we need to acknowledge. Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. The idea is, except I recognize that it's God doing the work. I can labor all I want to. I can plan all I want to. I can work all I want to. But until I say, Lord, I need your help. Will you bless this? We don't have His blessing. We're just doing it in our strength. And what will our strength produce? Wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. We need a pastor, and we need people who are acknowledging our weakness, and turning to our God and say, Lord, you prepare me. You help me after I've done everything that I can. You now bless. You give your strength. And folks, we're going to see a church that is on fire for God, that God is doing work through, that can't be explained any other way except His hand is there. That's what we need. That's what God wants. Acknowledgement of your reliance on God and request for His help and blessing. Just in a moment, we're going to sing a song. I don't need my book. Here it is.
275. I'm going to read to you. If you want to take your book and turn there right now. But I want you to listen.
Don't quit listening. Okay. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior. The next word is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, thine. Make me holy, thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender, how much? I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Can you honestly sing that with us today? Or it's right now. You need to do some work right now with God before Him, saying, Lord, You know there's some areas that I'm holding on to. Excuse me. You know that there are areas in my life that I have not surrendered. You know that there are excuses I'm giving of why I cannot serve You right now. Are You knowing that there are some postponements that I'm putting off and saying, well, I want this to happen and this happen and this happen first. Whatever it is, are You willing to say, Lord, today I'll present myself to You?
Have you presented yourself to God publicly? Or maybe it's today the day that God would have you walk this aisle and join others up here to say, today I'd like to present myself publicly to God in dedication of Him. I'm not perfect. God's still working on me. But by His help, I want to be a person that God can use. Do you present yourself daily unto the Lord? Has God laid that upon your heart, and you're willing to go out up here today and say, I commit, Lord, by Your help, I want to start tomorrow. I will present myself daily before You. And then understand, salvation is first. The blood. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and by faith I'm trusting what He did to be my payment of sin. That's what salvation is. It's the only thing that it is. Once you're saved, then you're to be baptized. Then you become a member of the church. You can serve God effectively in those positions. How will you respond to God right now? You answer that question. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that You may lay upon each person's heart the response to give. In just a moment, we're going to have opportunity to come forward to dedicate our lives unto You. And I pray for any that need to do that or want to do that again, that they may have that boldness today, that surrender unto You and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Father, for each one of us, may we respond as You've laid upon our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.